Doesn't everyone think that's a good idea? I've got a friend with me, Billy Joe Johnson, Shabadoo John, that thinks that's a great idea. Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, isn't that a great idea, Fancy Steve? Well, that's a great idea. Isn't that a great idea, Fart Monster?
How great would it be if... I think we've got a hole in our schedule coming up for Friendly Town. I want to propose Friendly Town applauds for a fucking hour. Where the entire show is just us applauding for a fucking hour, and that's just the whole recording. You don't even have to do any editing. You don't have to do any fancy editing. It's literally, like, you don't have to, like, because for this episode, I'm sure what our engineer, Mayor St. Thomas, is probably going to do is just take that moment of us just clapping and loop it for 14 minutes to end the episode, just to see if people are wondering, is this ever going to end? And then eventually it does, because they see the countdown timer on their phone or whatever app they use to listen to the podcast. But yeah, we're on iTunes, everyone. Friendly Town Radio. Listen to it. If you're listening to it right now, thanks for subscribing. I'm assuming you subscribed and didn't just click a direct link from our website, which you might have very well done. But please subscribe and like our podcast. Leave us a comment. Move us up the echelon. That is the abyss of iTunes podcasts. Because we care. We really do here in Friendly Town. We're a very fun little community, and we want to share the fun with the rest of the world. So it's been an interesting couple of days here in Friendly Town, and I decree as Mayor Tyler that it's about time that we did something about the fun of the last couple of days. What we did so the other night we inaugurated Mayor Sean's new house. That was a lot of fun. Then on last night we were invited to participate in a benefit for Wozo Radio, which is an amazing radio station based out of the Birdhouse here in Knoxville. And Friendly Town, it was our first non-Monday night show, really, for Friendly Town, and it was a lot of fun. And in my experience, and I was telling some people this earlier, in my experience, as someone who has done a number of benefit shows and done comedy on a number of benefit shows, it's the first time I've done a benefit show as a comic in any capacity where I haven't died a horrible death in front of a very indifferent and angry crowd. Not just indifferent, like most benefit crowds are angry. They do not like you. Even though you are there to help them, they do not like you at all. But the crowd last night was fantastic. They really were on board with what we did, which was a telethon. Literally was a telethon. We had Beth and Jared back here with myself. We were answering our calls, and we had a number of strangers call in from back there. A number of people who called in, and we tried to get them to pledge money. And the first 14 callers all thought they were calling Pizza Hut. So we didn't get any money from them. But eventually, our good buddy Hank Merton, thank God for Hank Merton, he called in one time early on, really incensed that he had to watch a telethon rather than NASCAR. And then we eventually got him off the phone. Then he called back in, because our tactic to get rid of him didn't work. So he called back in, and eventually he just decided he wanted to watch NASCAR bad enough. He gave us a huge, undisclosed sum of money, you guys. We raised the most money Friendly Town has ever raised in a single day, or period. We've never done a benefit before, but this is the first time we've done a benefit, and we raised a shitload of money. I won't tell you how much it was, but it was a pretty good amount. It's the kind of amount, if you looked at it, you would be like, all right. You would just curl your lip a little bit and go on with your day. But that's the amount of money that we got. It's the amount of money that makes you feel good about yourself. But unfortunately for our our bookkeeping staff, which, look, I know we've had to hire and and fire and rehire and fire and rehire and refire and fire. We had to fire people we hadn't even hired yet, and then hire those people to keep our books. It's been a weird year economically for Friendly Town. But basically, our tax lawyers, and one of whom we're going to be hearing from today, I'm assuming he is a lawyer, Mayor Andrew, he's going to talk to us about the ins and outs of money and taxes to explain our current predicament. But they've informed us that, for some reason, we need to hide this money. We need to hide the money we raised for a charity. No one's ever had to do that before. But we have to do it, or else we're all going to jail. We're all going to jail. We're gonna be convicted by our own judges. Judge Shane Ryan, who you might have heard recently on Friendly Town Goes to Court, episode 40. It's on our iTunes. Check that one out. It's a good one. He's going to send us all straight to jail. I mean, it's probably white-collar prison, so we're just going to be, like, paddling rowboats wearing, you know, like, you know, those prison outfits for a few months, and then we'll be back out on the street with the other white-collar scumbags. But regardless, in honor of that declaration from our accountants, this is Friendly Town Launders Its Benefit Proceeds! Yeah, I know, right? We don't need to do Friendly Town claps for a fucking hour. That's what the show is going to turn into. It's just going to be every person we bring up on stage, I want no less than a minute of solid applause for each of them, because they are all the best con artists we have picked from our town. All of the people we're bringing up on stage are coming up here tonight. They're going to be presenting their ideas for how we're going to launder this money. And they're going to be presenting their plans step by step. And trust me, when I say I know con artists, I know con artists. Like, I own 14 houses. Never been in any of them. But I own 14 of them. I got one from Vince Neil in a weird back alley deal. I can't explain it. I really can't explain it. But he's just like, all right, I've got to go do the new Motley Crue reunion. Here's your house. I have no explanation. I don't have the key. He didn't give me the key. He just gave me a picture of a house, and he said that I owned it. So I need to talk to my own personal accountant and my personal tax attorney for what I'm going to do about that, nugget. But it's okay, because we got a really great set of con artists here in Friendly Town, and we're going to figure out just what we're going to do with this large, undisclosed amount of unmarked bills. Or do we need to convert it to unmarked bills? I don't know. I'm not good at this laundering thing, you guys. That's why I called in some experts. So please, without further ado, please welcome our first money laundering expert to the stage. Someone with an elaborate history in the mob, out of the mob, in the feds, out of the feds, and back with the mob. And he wasn't sure. He was working as an informant at one point, but he forgot he was an informant, so he was legitimately in the mob, and I think that's what counts. I think it counts as being actually in the mob if you forget that you're an informant. He has an interesting history, a really interesting dossier on him from the Friendly Town PD. But at any rate, I'm excited to see what ideas he's going to bring to the table. Please welcome, with a reasonable amount of clapter, St. Thomas Ledoux.
Accounting books and be like, well, how about you look at this puppy? And he He'd be like, oh, that is a cute puppy. And then she'd go down to pet the puppy. And he'd be like, oh, you're a cute little puppy. And then I'd come from behind and stab him. Then after you stab him, what'd you do with the body? You feed it to the puppies. They don't know what they're eating. And then you wonder, sometimes how are we going to move all this puppy inventory? You made us buy like 1,000 puppies that you're keeping in your garage. And I said, it doesn't matter where they go. If they die, you just claim a sale. You collect the money anyway. You don't have to actually take care of them. You get a, you feed them if you can kill a cop. But if you don't kill no cops, it's not a big deal, you know? But in the meantime, before they die, you get to play with them. That's nice. And so you just, you know, you get the time with the puppies, and you play with the puppies, and you get decoy if the law comes. Because then we didn't have that in the mafia. When the FBI would come to the mafia, they go, oh, hi, Gambino, we need to check your ravioli counting. We need to see your ravioli records. We didn't have a puppy to distract him. We just had to fight him. Well, we just had to come out. But sometimes they would get you first, and then you gotta take Cousin Vinny down to the hospital, and they go, what happened to him? Like, I don't know. He got fucking shot. Okay, stop asking questions. He's fucking dying over here. Just do your fucking job. He's a poor guy. What do I need a fucking make you to do your goddamn job? See my fucking cousin. Wouldn't it be so much better if you just be like, I'll give you a puppy if you save my cousin Vinny? Because who's going to turn that down? That's a great deal. I'm just saying, I'm just really sad we didn't think of this in the mafia, because I think we could have gotten at least a couple extra seasons out of The Sopranos if we'd done that. But if we didn't, but for the time, we could take this all the way to the top, because I know this goes all the way to the top, because Vladimir Putin, he likes puppies. And when they go, oh, I'm not going to get political, that's silly. Besides, I need to lay low. I can't be a topical comic and relevant to the outside world, because then they're come looking for me. I'm a wanted man, you know what I'm saying? So, what are the details we got to cover with the puppy scheme? I don't talk about kitties. You got to keep the kitties and the puppies separate, because I don't like each other. And people will get suspicious if you just got a garage full of cats fighting and dogs keep fighting and hissing and shitting. It's not good. Besides that, oh, I guess I'm gonna go play the puppy. You're welcome to join me. And if not, then more puppies for me.
Did anyone register literally a thing he just said? Because I need to put it into our ledger. I need to put it into our notes of how we're going to launder the money. From what I could gather, I recognize the word puppies somewhere in there. Did he talk about the obvious amount of money he poured into helium futures? Did he reference how the mafia obviously took his balls? Did he talk about that? Did he talk about that too? I think we need to have a moment of silence for Officer Purina. That was enough. He was an okay man. All right, I think that, you know, we got a couple good ideas on the board. Investing in puppies and kitties and helium futures. And then, you know, you sell the puppies and kitties. And, you know, to loving owners, to loving pet owners. You know, people who are really into owning pups, paying top dollar for them. Which is unethical, but, you know, bring them to a loving home. What are you going to do? Thought we'd bring in someone who the special expertise on the legal aspects of what we, not just are doing, what we need to do, and hide this money from the tax man, from the friendly town revenue service, from the FIRS. Please welcome Mayor Andrew McNicholas.
So, obviously, I didn't hear anything that has been said so far, Because the key word for money laundering is plausible deniability. I'm going to say that again. Plausible deniability. And now we're all going to say it, so you all know this word. 3, 2, 1. Plausible deniability. All right, I looked it up. What we're dealing with is the Friendly Town Code annotated 3914901 under criminal offenses, offenses against property, money laundering offenses. So the big thing is it's really like technically only illegal if the person who has all the money knows that it's dirty money. So we just need to find someone who is like really old or senile or just completely removed. Like maybe like we have, if there's anyone in exile that we can bring back, anything like that would be good. I was thinking Harriet from last week might be a good one. Really just anyone we can put on as like the face. Because despite its name, money laundering isn't about washing the money. I did that for a stunt over in Qdiopolis and I cost them millions of dollars. So you're welcome. But also that's why I got kicked out of there. Let me double check here. So the money is technically only dirty if it is acquired through a crime that is punishable as a felony. All right, y'all, so let me just go ahead and tell you what we can't do. Okay, no assault, no arson, no burglary, no robbery, no larceny, no homicide of any degree, no drugs. Getting those drugs out of y'all. Unless they're like pharmaceutical drugs, because that's a great idea as a front of an operation for this elaborate money laundering scheme. The main things, we gotta focus on misdemeanors, all right? So I'm talking about light vandalism, okay? I'm talking about jaywalking, all right? I'm talking about stealing candy from babies. Whatever we have to do, but we gotta keep it in the misdemeanor section. I've came up with, I mean, this is a real quick 1, 2, 3, 4. So one, get the money, which we already have, so that's great. 2, put it into various banks and as investments into fake companies. And there are a lot of fake companies here in Friendly Town, so I think we're going to do well with that. 3, purchase assets. All right, that's gold, silver, platinum, rare earth elements, you know, jewelry, things like this. And then 4 is bro down. All right, so I went ahead and I did the liberty of coming up with a few good ideas that I did my research, and these are probably the best bets for us to stage as the operation. So I'm just going to read these off here. Nail salons, car washes, strip clubs, construction companies, laundromats, if we do it properly and don't actually wash the money like I did last time. Schools for gifted youngsters. GoFundMes to buy jewelry and gold and other things that I've already mentioned. Fast food chains, soap making factories, amusement parks, etc. We just need something that looks fancy on the outside and then on the middle actually has nothing going on, because as long as there's at least a 6.3% profit increase or less every year, the force will not come after us. So that's really what we got to do. So now, do y'all remember the key word for money laundering? Damn, that's a good movie. Maybe we could shoot an Independence Day remake with a massive amount of funds. But no, it's plausible deniability. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave the town hall here. I'm going to let y'all figure it out for yourselves. And then obviously you can summon me back up at the end and tell me your completely legitimate business idea that there will be no issue with at all. All right, y'all. I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. And remember, no drugs, no arson, no assault. We're talking jaywalking and stealing candy from babies here.
I think that we can all get behind that. And they laughed at us when we built that strip club that's also an amusement park. They said that no one would ever ride the thong zipper. I don't know. Like I'm trying to think of things that are both in amusement parks and strip clubs, and I've only ever been to amusement parks, you guys. I'm not a very well-rounded individual, I guess. But it's okay, because we're going to build a strip club amusement park, and it's going to be fun for some of the family. And it's going to be a blast, and we're going to be able to channel all our money, not channel, channel all of our money through it, because we're going to be burying it in a treasure chest. I've thought about this already. We're going to bury it in a big old pirate's chest, and it's not even going to be in like, neatly stacked bills. It's just going to be like, you know, like the fucking end of that ZZ Top video with all the bills flying out the back of that truck. Watch the ZZ Top videos. All right, ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between, this is a special occasion. Someone with particularly spicy money laundering experience is with us tonight. spicy like a meatball money laundering experience, and, you know, I think I'm just gonna let him speak for himself. Please welcome, with open arms and open minds, Sean Cimino.
Okay, so I think the best element for money laundering is making sure that everyone knows that you're not money laundering. Because whenever there is a money laundering operation going on and people are like looking at your business and they're like, there's no way that they get customers in there or whatever you're doing. But if you are going out into public and being like, we're not money laundering, we got this money through legit means, then people aren't suspicious anymore. So I think that we need to launder our money through a really good bar story. Like, you ever been to a bar and you just, like, overhear a conversation, or you've been a part of a conversation where somebody's like, oh, man, you know, I was digging a hole in my backyard and I found this, like, block of concrete and I broke it open and there was, like, $40 inside. And it's, like, crazy. And it's, like, but people are like, wow, that's just crazy enough for me to believe it, you know. Or they're like, hey, I saw a hawk grab a squirrel the other day, and he dropped the squirrel right in front of me, and there was a $20 bill in the squirrel's mouth. I feel like that we should recruit a small number of friendly town citizens who are going to have elaborate yet believable bar stories that end with them finding $5 to $45. It has to be less than 50 at a time, and we have to cultivate these. And we have to go out into public and loudly say them in conversation so that people are like, wow, that guy really finds a lot of money. I mean, some of it can be mundane, like, oh, I was at the laundromat and I found a $5 bill in my pocket that I didn't know I had in there. We're literally laundering our money now. I know Andrew just said don't launder your money, but you can literally launder it in that case. Or like, hey, I found a bunch of old birthday cards and I had $45 in it from my Uncle Steve. And I feel like we need to go out in public and just have our bar stories. I caught a fish. There was a 60 nickels inside. I was trying to buy a candy bar and I found a quarter in the gutter and I went in and bought the candy bar and inside the candy bar wrapper was a $10 bill. Things like that. So we get a group, a small confidential group, and we all go out to the bars together and we all trade stories and it links because like one person will start off the thing of like, hey, this crazy thing happened today. And somebody's like, oh, crazy thing happened to me the other day. And so that'll be a natural flow and everyone sitting around us will be like, These people are very fortunate people. They keep finding money in strange and amazing yet plausible ways. But I know what you're saying, Sean. Wouldn't it cost money to go out to the bars and keep having to go out and buy drinks every night and maintain this facade? Well, there's the thing. We could open up our own bar. And then we can undercharge ourselves for the booze. So we can be going out and not spending some of the laundered money. You know, we can run, like, something crazy like a cash-only bar, right? And, like, we can just go to our cash-only bar and we could, like, you know, drink the beer for free but charge ourselves. And, you know, it'll be cash-only so there'll be no record. You know, we just kind of are just slipping money into the till. And, you know, other people can come to the bar and we can have entertainment, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 of us could, like, make some different music groups, and then those music groups can make super groups and, like, different combinations, and we'll always be playing here for some, like, every single night, there'll be some new combination of, like, the same 4, 6, 7 people playing up on the stage, and we'll be paying the bands as they come up, but it's really we're paying us, and we'll get money from the door. I think it's a perfect excuse for money laundering. I think there's nothing like it has been done before, and I think if we do it, it'll definitely not be suspicious. So I think we can launder our money through this totally made up place, you guys. So just keep it in your heads. Crazy bar stories and a crazy bar. Thank you.
You know what? I vote we enact that plan, and I'm going to take my share of the money, and I'm going to put it directly into fake mustaches. Because we're going to need a lot of combinations of fake mustaches if we're going to pull off that we're in a bunch of different bands act. Like, you know, there's going to be one band that's like, that plays shoegaze, one band that plays shitgaze, one band that plays, you know, like dream pop, one band that plays dream gaze. It's going to be the same 5 people in all of those bands, but with combinations of weird facial hair and eyeglasses. One band is just going to be called the Monocles. None of them are going to wear monocles. And then there's going to be a band just called The People, and they're all going to be wearing monocles. You see how I've already thought of this, the next step to that bar plan. The bar is actually being built right now. I secretly authorized it from back of the room. I texted our our contractor, Billy Joel. And not that Billy Joel, just Billy Joel. His last name is Jones or something boring. But, you know, his middle name is Joel. So we call him Billy Joel just to, you know, keep the energy up around here. You know, just want to think about Billy Joel, the singer. And imagine how cool it would be if Billy Joel was building us our bar. It would just be called Anthony's or something like that. It would be fucking cool. I'd like that bar. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, this is going to be a special presentation from a man who just walked up to me on the street. I was outside having a smoke, and he just came walking up to me, and he demanded that I give him the floor. And that's never backfired on us before here in Friendly Town, so please welcome the very interesting Colin Riggs.
Yeah, how y'all doing? So, I happened to be walking by, and I heard that y'all are trying to launder some money. Now, you all don't know me, or you might, my name is Colin Riggs, but, you probably know me by my stage name, Mr. Bernie Sanders. I just so happen to have some, experience making money, disappear. Before you say it is not because I am, Jewish, it is because... I am a senator, and like all senators, I have secret funds that you all do not know about. So, I have a suggestion for you guys. I say that we take all that money and we put it to charity. Wait, it's charity money. You're laundering fucking charity money. Okay, I got this. How about you donate it to my campaign? You don't want to do... Okay, fine. Okay, how about this? How about we take that money and we put it into scholarships for minorities? What, you don't like that either, motherfucker? I'm trying to make America great again, motherfuckers. What, I can't use that. That's a son of a bitch. I'm too old for this shit. Okay. How about this? Who was that first guy? The mafia guy. I got some experience with that mafia guy. How about we just take the money, we go into rich people's houses, and we just beat them to death with it? I think that would be a great way to launder the money. And we'll put it in the laundromat like the one guy said. And then we'll just scatter fucking puppies everywhere. Nobody will ever know a thing. I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm running for president. Thank you.
Kill! Die! All right, there you go. Problem solved, everyone. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So, oh shit, I have committed a felony, haven't I?
Hey, no cabbage.
Well, I haven't touched the money technically yet. Who has the money anyway? We should have probably figured out where is the money.
We thought you had the money.
Oh no, I don't have the money. Do you have the money? Oh, no. I haven't checked my mailbox in, like, 3 months. Like, all I get these days are bills that, like, the text gets bigger. Every one. The text in the bills keeps getting bigger and redder, you know? I don't want to check my mail. That's a death sentence. So anyway, that gentleman who's convinced that he is Bernie Sanders is actually one of our local Insane Ranty people, and we do donate $20,000 annually to the Insane Ranty people of Friendly Town. So that is a important charitable donation that we can probably deduct from our first claims next year. So whoever's keeping track, is anyone keeping track? Don't tell me you were expecting me to keep track too, because I haven't. I haven't been keeping track. All right, does that mean the forms are in my mail? Okay, I need to run and check my mailbox, like, right now. But please, in the meantime, We got a great proposal from somebody who is someone who's been with Friendly Town since day one, and he not only manages our minds and our hearts, but also our bar. Please give it up for your bartending mayor, who is currently dispensing change. And I'm going to stall because he's got business to attend to. He's a busy man. Please put your hands together for Todd Lewis.
I'm Todd Lewis, and I've heard there's a voice acting scout in the audience. I've got a wonderful idea. We should start a shell company. Like, not a business term, but an actual company that buys and sells shells. Everything that was old is new again. Bell bottoms made a comeback. Cassette tapes are making a comeback. And using shells as currency is going to be making a comeback. You can't trace shells because they don't have serial numbers. And we can use them over and over and sell them to chumps. Doesn't everyone think that's a good idea? I've got a friend with me, Billy Joe Johnson, Shabadoo John, that thinks that's a great idea. Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, isn't that a great idea, Fancy Steve? Well, that's a great idea. Isn't that a great idea, Fart Monster? Isn't that a great idea, Hank Merton? Yeah, man, that there's a great idea. Isn't that a great idea, Stoner Steve? Man, that's like a great idea. Isn't that a great idea, Captain Robot? That is a great idea. Isn't that a great idea, Dinosaur President? Isn't that a great idea, Mr. Snowman? Oh, I forgot, snowmen can't talk. Isn't that a great idea, Commander Goose? Yeah, that's a great idea. Isn't that a great idea, Lightbulb? That's a great idea, Todd. Isn't that a great idea, Mr. Cat? Yes, meow. Isn't that a great idea, Chucky Chuckling Bob? It's a great idea. Isn't that a great idea, Worn Out Premise? Well, that's a great idea. Isn't that a great idea, Dad? Go back to college, Todd. Isn't that a great idea, Starscream? I can't do Starscream. Never. Can't do Starscream. Isn't that a great idea? Can't do. That's a great idea. Jesus, isn't that a great idea? That's sacrilegious. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for reminding me that was sacrilegious. Isn't that a good idea, Bossy Pete? Get back to work, Todd. Thanks, everybody.
That's going to be looped, and lots of echo is going to be added to it. And we're going to provide a warning before anyone listens to this podcast episode. Do not take any sort of hallucinogenics before listening to Todd's set, because it will twist your mind, man. Also, come back to Friendly Town in roughly a couple months' time where we're going to force Todd to just do that for 45 straight minutes. It's called Friendly Town. Isn't that a great idea? Coming soon to a cereal box near you. It's another item we can launder our money through, cereal boxes. You know, just put the shitty cereal boxes, fill it with money. No one's ever going to buy them. Just let them sit there. Just let them sit in the just let them sit in the aisle at Kroger, you know? Like, who eats muesli? Seriously. I don't want to know. You know what? No one eats muesli. Just fill the boxes of muesli with the money. No one's going to touch it. I mean, maybe they'll recite. We have to take the expiration. We have to scratch the expiration dates off, but. Oh, man, I have to do a lot of soul searching. We brought in the ultimate money launderer. You guys will not believe the ideas that our last presenter has. And then, hopefully by that time, the money will all have gone missing, No Country for Old Men style. Exactly the No Country for Old Men style. I need to go check on that, by the way. Put your hands together for Drew Harper.
Chair, I'm gonna move the mic. Get up for our mayor, Tyler. I don't know why I'm last. Alright, I thought I'd sit down because I wanted to get really real. And you know, the best stand up is sitting down, the most real. So, this is my money laundering. I'm gonna fix the mic even more. I had absolutely nothing for this show, but Tyler made me do it.
Don't throw me under the bus.
But he's the best. Tyler rides a bus. So I was gonna do, when I think about money laundering, I'm just gonna try some half-ass material that has tangentially to do with money laundering, which is when I, so my cousin did some money laundering. And for the podcast, not to say his real name, but it's Benjamin Joseph Brinkley. And he did this, and we're not very close. But I found out my family doesn't drink, but Benjamin's an alcoholic. So he's at this really small college, and he told me that he was money laundering from this Albanian bar. And he's like, he thinks, well, it's a bar owned by Albanians and run by Albanians. And he, he is a racist, but he thinks he's, friends with all these Albanians, but they're just friends with him because he launders their money. And I'm like, Benjamin, how did you do that? And I think it has something to do with, considering margaritas food or something, and turning into a cash-only bar after, 4 a.m., anyway, so then I was thinking about, you know, immigrants that want to run restaurants and stuff. I used to work with a bunch of immigrants, but real weird immigrants. There's a reason they're here and not back in their normal countries. They're too weird. They're too weird for those countries. One was this from a headhunting tribe in Indonesia. Her name is Justina. And we worked with children. They thought she could read minds. This is going very well. So I worked with this Nigerian guy named Bobina, who was a prince in Nigeria. But there's a lot of princes in Nigeria. I looked it up. He's from some tribe. But you'd think if you were a prince, you'd probably stay there where you were a prince. But instead of working for $12 an hour. But nah, Bobina's great mercantile idea was to start a Nigerian restaurant in America and then make enough money that he could go back to Nigeria and start an American restaurant. And he had this whole big scheme going, and he was a polygamist, and he had a wife in Nigeria, and she was waiting on him to make all this money, and he had some wives here and stuff. And the overarching premise of this, which is that immigrants have really silly dreams. How How silly is that? He thought he would do a Nigerian restaurant here, an American restaurant in Nigeria, and, like, he probably also thought he'd be accepted here and, like, have a better life and, you know, economic mobility and stuff and, you know, not oppression at every corner and, America's been treating him well. My cousin launders money. His name's Benjamin. Oh, there was more to that joke that I forgot. I think that Benjamin tells me all his crimes because I've told him that I'm gay and he thinks they're like equally bad. And I'm like, Byron, I'm gay, don't tell our grandparents. He's like, I got arrested in Alabama for selling drugs to underage girls, and don't tell our grandparents. And I feel comfortable, however, like, coming out on, like, I did realize that this is on a podcast, but I am confident in the low viewership of the podcast to come out on. I would literally give you my social security number right now, which is something I think that St. Thomas did yesterday at the call-in show. So look up that show. I think it has his real social security number on it. I've been, Drew, immigrant restaurants are how to launder money.
You know, we too are confident in the low viewership of our podcast because it's a fucking podcast. People don't view a podcast, silly Billy. All right. So you guys guessed it. You guys guessed our methods by we sent Drew up as a decoy to tell a long, rambly story that doesn't go anywhere. And while he was telling the story, distracting all of you, we have successfully laundered our benefit money. Yay! You know, we learned a lot about Drew, and to be perfectly fair...
Oh, shit.
you didn't see that. To be perfectly fair, his stories of working in restaurants with Nigerian immigrants who wanted to make money and go back to Nigeria and open an American restaurant, that's like the... not even in the top 20 weirdest restaurant stories I think any of us in this room have. So, I worked in a restaurant for 2 weeks, and that's like a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10 of the weird shit that I witnessed working in a restaurant. But, you know, we'll save that for our future meeting when we decide, when we hold a show sometime in the next few months, Friendly Town opens a shitty restaurant, purposefully, to launder more money. Purposefully, Friendly Town opens a shitty restaurant. Friendly Town opens a strip club / amusement park. That's going to be coming up in the next few months. But a couple of nights to mark your calendar for, in all seriousness. Next week, a week from tonight, Mayor Sean is going to be taking the podium, and he's going to be hosting an evening of creativity. We're going to be designing Friendly Town's flag. Yeah. Give it up for that. And that is actually going to be leading up to August 20th, 2018. August 20th. It is a little less than a month from tonight. It is going to be the 2-year anniversary of Friendly Town. Holy shit. Give it up for that. We have been doing this dumb bullshit for 2 years, and no one has forcefully put a stop to it. That is a major victory in comedy. You guys don't understand. That's like 40 years in comedy years. Like statistically, if we've been doing this anywhere else, some manager who looks like Mario would walk in on our third show and say, "No one's drinking enough. Hit the bricks." And we would have had to find a new venue. So thanks again to the Pilot Light for that. And we do this here every single Monday. Those are just a couple of great shows we got coming up in the next few weeks here at Friendly Town. Have a good night. Get home safe. We love you. Bye.